Welcome to the Stogie from the Road podcast. This is a show that's all about turning challenges into opportunities. Every episode, we'll share inspiring stories, actionable advice, and the mindset shifts you need to conquer life's toughest obstacles. Whether you're pushing through a personal tragedy, a minor setback, or navigating a career hurdle, you're in the right place. Now, without further ado, let's start the show.
Welcome back to another episode of Stogie from the Road. And this is the third time I've started this podcast because Fatsy Klein, Chunky Cole Medina, better known as Bonnie, is behind me right now, snoring. See, that's what happens when you're in the truck and you're trying to continue on with your adventure of having a world-renowned podcast. You have a snoring dog. And a squeaky chair, and keys that jingle, and trucks that are setting their brakes next to you, and on and on and on we go. It's not going to be perfect. Let me get all this jingly shit off of me. Let's get on with the show. How are you guys? How's everybody doing? Did you miss me? I missed you. There's so much that's going on right now. I was in California ever since Monday. Well, no, I got there Saturday. I had to lay up in the new Vernon truck wash, my little home away from home. I love those people out there. I love that place. It's nice and quiet, and you can chill out and relax and do your laundry and all that good stuff. I love those great people out there in Barstow, California. It's a great place to be when you're in California. So I had a drop in Norco, California. And I got unloaded, and then I had to shoot 20 minutes down the road to Perris, California, P-E-R-R-I-S, I believe. Went over there, and the saga began. Typical California. It's like wrangling cats to get somebody to load you. It was an entire day of horse shit, and the entire day went devoted to loading there. And then I had to shoot on over to Yorupa. I can't pronounce any of the fucking names here. Basically, Riverside. And went over there. Same old shit the entire day of loading stuff up. And now I'm in Vegas. And doing another pickup. And it's for this auction. And we get here to pick up and fall ahead. And the guy won't answer the phone. He won't answer the fucking phone. I've been sitting at the TA in Vegas all damn day long and no idea if I'm even picking up tomorrow. So I am raking in the big bucks going half the speed of smell across this area. So what better thing to do with your time when you just make chicken salad out of chicken shit? Finally got the time to do a podcast, so we're going to do a podcast. We're going to talk about some stuff, and let's talk about California. You know, ever since I started going to California when I started working for Taylor years ago, you know the first thing I thought when I went to California? Why the fuck do we listen to these people? They're just messy. And I always noticed, one of the first things I noticed also is when I was there, what a sight of the haves and the have-nots. The way that area is set up, if you shoot by on the 5 or whatever, you can see people in their mansions way up on the hill, and they are just completely just decked out. They're way up on the hill, and you go straight down the cliff down to the bottom of the hill. You got shacks, tiny houses, people packed on top of one another. And there she goes snoring again. And it's like the haves and the have-nots. The haves are way up high and the have-nots are down at the bottom. And you notice that with California. And there's a lot of people, and I'm sure y'all notice the people in California, they all they've had that same attitude with people, whether it was the pandemic or politics or anything like that. We know what we're talking about and you don't. So shut up, you bleebs, you freaking less than desirables from all your flyover states and all that horse shit. And then I come here now. And it's like the playing field is leveled. Just completely leveled. You know, I saw on the news Dennis Quaid evacuating, and I'm seeing him throwing stuff into his vehicle in garbage bags. I was like, whoa. Now, please understand, I am not happy that anybody is dealing with this misfortune, so don't misconstrue what I'm saying here, but it just shows that tragedy can happen to anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. But somebody made a point. There's an awful lot of people that are homeless right now. They're not on the streets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
So those people are going to hotels. They got insurance. They're going to be made whole again. You know, and they're good to go. No, they're not. Nobody is. There's no discrimination between tragedy and man. It's not, it could hit anybody and at any time. And we're seeing that happen right now. I mean, the entire area is just like a wasteland. I didn't get anywhere close to the Palisades or any of that stuff like that, but I could see it off in the distance and I could smell it in the air. And they were not joking about the wind. I mean, it was challenging to drive a truck through that. And I'm not even driving a big, you know, box van truck. I'm driving a flatbed. But I could feel it. I could definitely feel it. It was like pushing me all over the road. So, I mean, my heart goes out to these people. It really does. My heart goes out to anybody going through tragedy. But we just got to keep on trucking. Looks like they're going to be getting some government assistance and everything like that. But I'll tell you what, I don't really watch the news that much anymore, but man, I watch that son of a bitch Gavin Newsom on there. Oh my God, what a piece of shit. I mean, him faking being on the phone with the president and him shaking his little shoulders, talking about all the stuff and the hand theatrics. I mean, the guy, it literally looks like he practices public speaking by using his hands in descriptive theatric fashion. The guy is a fucking tool bag. He's like the California Justin Trudeau. And we all see how that panned out. Bye-bye, motherfucker. Ugh. Canadians. I don't hold anything against Canadians. Other than the ones that I dated momentarily. Oof. I dated that goofy-ass blonde from Canada for like 10 minutes, and you talk about an American hating motherfucker. He just, and it was so funny to watch her go on and on and on about how much she knew about America based upon what she sees on the news, but never sees in real life. I'm like, wow, what the power of the media, how it can take the human mind and turn it into something to where they will speak with absolute ardor, such fire, such certainty, and say, this is the way it is. But you ever been here, dumbass? No. No, you haven't. You're an idiot. Go back to Canada. Eat your cheesies and gravy and whatever the fuck. Anyway, I digress. Hope she's listening to this. Mwah. Hugs and kisses. Anyway, started some new stuff recently. I started a new thing called Massive Whore Theater. Let's open up that little Pandora's box here momentarily. Massive Whore Theater is showcasing the whores that I've come in contact with from time to time that slide into the DMs with unsavory intention. So I decided to showcase that because, you know what? The first one I did, I had a pretty good response. By and large, a lot of people liked it. However, there were some people going, and talking mad shit, like, what about the man whores? What about man this? Hey, you know, fuckface, I don't know if you've been on the internets, on the on the America Onlines lately. However, you need to understand something. The internet is latent with fucking man-hating content. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting some anti-narcissist man-hating bullshit. And that is all there is. It's just a bunch of people talking about, I am with a narcissist because he won't give me my way and he won't do what I want him to do. And on we go. During my little brief stint in the dating world, there was a thing that I learned about, and it's called the 666 rule. He's got to be 6 foot tall, six pack abs, and make six figures. Meanwhile, I bring nothing to the table other than a huge ass and a bad attitude. Oh my God, the fucking entitlement was maddening on some of these women. And I mean, I would hear it from women that literally had faces for fucking radio. And they were just like, I don't like it when a man doesn't work out. Honey, your blood type is fucking Velveeta. And you're talking about a man not working out. And by the way, you're a greeter at Best Buy. But you deserve a 1% type of fella. Okay. Well, for starters, 1% men do not tolerate, nor do they have time for mediocrity. That's how they became the 1%. It's like you're late, you're left. They will move the fuck on with a quickness, and they won't tolerate your bullshit just because you have a vagina. God made more than one of them. That's a fun fact for you. So they just, it didn't go well with that sect of an audience. I got some good shit. However, is that going to stop me? The fuck do you think? Literally hooked up the jumper cables and breathed life into episode 5, 6, 700. Because there's plenty of content out there. I mean, if I were to go back into my DMs, just during my divorce alone, oh my God, hold on a second, I need a drink. That's good Gatorade. Anyway, if I had nickel for how many massive, opportunistic, not bringing anything to the table other than a fucking migraine whores that came up going, hey, if you ever need an ear, I'm here for you. You're such a great guy. You deserve the best. Bitch, I don't know you. What do you mean I deserve the best? I could be shitting with the door open eating Cocoa Puffs at the same time. How do you know I deserve the best? This may come as a shock to you, but I'm a bit of a lot. And what do you bring to the table? I've been watching you on Facebook for the past 2.5 years, and you've gone through, you've seen more dick than a urinal at Love's. No, thank you. Hard pass, honey. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. No, thank you. And I've seen it all. I've seen it all. Some women are more forward than most men ever dreamed to be. And they'll come right out at you. And you could smell it like a fart in a car. They'll come right at you if you ever need an ear. Oh, thank you so much. You're such a handsome guy. Thank you very much. And then the ego stroking starts. And they start telling you how great you are. And then next thing you know, like I said in the video, a little bit of cleavage. Then next thing you know, I know, Bonnie, it's fucking boring as shit. Next thing you know, it's boobs, it's vagina, it's this, and I'm going to suck this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to make you freaking forget your name and all this bullshit like that. And bing, 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 boom. Will the defendant please rise? Fuck that all the way off. No, thank you. So, I don't know. I'm a lucky fella. I dodged that bullet. Anyway, so, yeah, the massive whole theater had mixed reviews. Shall I continue on? Most certainly. I have not decided what my next episode is going to be. I've been holding a Princess Nympho 6969 in my back pocket for a while because that one was a doozy, and I can't wait to release that one. That woman was crazier than a shithouse rat. Complete unsolicited messages going off, fielded her advances, and next thing you know, I'm a motherfucker from way back. So, yeah, she's all kinds of nope. So she's definitely going to be an episode. And then you've got, oh, geez, this one. A friend of a friend. And I'm trying to be diplomatic here because I don't want to spoil the ending because this is going to make a good video. Was going through a difficult time with her man. And got very, very graphic about her sexual prowess to a man that was taken. And that would be me. And, oh my God, you know what? I'm not even going to do it. You're going to have to stay tuned because this is an episode and a half. And what a dumpster fucking fire it was. It is. And forever shall be. So, yeah, that's going to be good. Other than that, I'm doing a lot of recording. I got the GoPro set up and I'm doing a lot of recording, but, you know, I'm saving all the footage and I'm saving all these like little chapters of my life and how things are going and everything because I'm fully committed to finishing this documentary. And this is stuff that I frankly think is more apropos to my documentary versus, you know, videos that get 125 views and shit like that. So I'm kind of holding on to that and I want to build the anticipation for that. So I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to. I watched a video recently talking about stop telling people what you're going to do and just do it. So that's what I'm doing. So to be continued. That's going to be some good stuff. But yeah, it's just going through these fires and being back in trucking and everything like that reminds me of and it's mainly to do with trucking. It reminds me of a thing a pastor told me one time because I've gotten some shit about being in and out of trucking. And for starters, getting shit about being in and out of trucking, literally, I could care less about. That is synonymous with our industry. This industry is so fucking demanding. It takes up 85 to 90% of your life. There are so many people that do it for 4 or 5 years, 3 or 4 years, and then they say, fuck this, and I'm gone, and I'm out. They go home for 3 or 4 months, and then they come back, and they go home, and then they come back and stuff. There's nothing new about what I'm doing. So you guys can save that shit. Fuck off. I spent almost 400 days straight in a truck. I needed a break from it. I went back into it. And that leads me into what I'm talking about. Pastor, when I first got my CDL, told me something. And yikes. And he told me that, look at this as an assignment. Don't go all in. If you don't like it, you're not stuck. Keep your CDL. I mean, my driving instructor, my CDL instructor told me, if you decide to leave, just keep it current. You never know if you'll need it. It's because people do this for a while, and you get fucking bled dry, and then you leave. I have no problem getting on my fucking podcast, that none of you motherfuckers pay for yet, and say exactly what I want when I want. And one thing I don't have any problem saying is, there's going to be a coming a time where I'm leaving this truck. This truck is a tool for me to live. But it's not my life. There's a lot of people that say, trucking is in your blood. As in, if I don't have a choice. You have a choice. Everybody has a choice. If it's not for you, it's not for you. There's people that say you got to be all 110% in or get the fuck out. You need to be 110% in when you're behind the wheel, but it's not your life. I have things I want to do. I have wealth that I want to acquire. I want to go places. I want to travel abroad. There's places I want to see. There's achievements I want to get underneath my belt. And I'm using this as a tool to get there, to move on to the next chapter of my life. But it is not my fucking life, and it's not yours either. I'm not saying this to shut up my haters. I could give a fuck about them. I actually enjoy them because they get me off my dead ass when I get complacent. I'm saying this for the people that are driving around in a truck and they're thinking, this is all I got. No, it isn't. A truck is not, a truck does not define you. You are not what you do. You are not what you have. You are not what you've achieved. You are you. How many people in here that are listening to this that have actually asked themselves, who am I? Who am I? Not your job, not you being a father or a mother or a daughter or a son, a driver, an accountant, a lawyer, a pillar of your community, a good craftsman, a good podcaster. Who are you? Butt naked, who are you? Without anything else, who are you? That's a hard question to ask, if you really ask it. But once you ask that question, you realize the truck is not you. It doesn't define you. My personality type craves interaction with my fellow man. That's why I do a podcast. And some people that have a personality type to where they're more isolationist, they don't. Yet those people that are more isolationists will say, I don't know why you do a fucking podcast. Well, of course you don't. You don't have the same personality as I do, dumb shit. You know? We're all different. Celebrate your differences. Find out what your different traits are and accelerate them. Breathe life into them. And it doesn't have to make sense to anybody else but you. You know, one sign of success is people scratching their head saying, what the fuck are you doing, and talking shit. But never listen to anybody that's doing less than you. I have no time nor inclination for that. So, yeah. Let's get that straight right now. There's going to come a time where I'm going to turn these fucking keys to the left for good. I promise you that. I promise you that. I make no bones about it. It'll just be Stogie from wherever the fuck he wants. Because I only get one life. And my intention when I started this life was not to please the doubting Toms and the negative Nancys and the Buzz Killingtons of the world. Fuck you. It's the people. It's my tribe of people. And I know who my tribe is. My tribe of people are people that struggle with stuff like I do. I can tell. They're the ones that are still here. So, yeah, there's that. You know, I like using this podcast as a tool to bring awareness to certain things, which actually leads me to my next point. You know, funny story. When I went back to trucking, I don't think I've ever released this story publicly. I mean, some of you that follow me on Facebook actually saw it, but there's a guy I met, and we actually become friends. We talk all the time now, and we met in a very unlikely circumstance. Mr. Nick Campbell, from All Pro Towing in Murdo, South Dakota. Such a great guy. Let me tell you a story how we met. So I decided to go back into trucking. And this fucking dog will not quit snoring. You know what? That's going to be the soundtrack to this podcast, is Bonnie going. Anyway, you're going to have to deal with it. Bonnie's a part of this. So you're just going to have to tough it out. Anyway, so I go back to trucking and company sends me a rental car. So I get the rental car and we get to trucking. Load up the old Malibu. And we start heading across 90 out of Washington. We're making good time. We're going to be there early. Check into the hotel in Garner, Iowa, and get ready to start our first day back at old IMT, right? Wrong. We're trucking through town late at night. We're coming through Murdo, South Dakota. Just fueled up the Malibu. Just had a granola bar. And I'm talking to my girlfriend and I'm on the phone with her. And next thing you know, it's in the middle of the rut. What do you guys think happened? I'm going 80 miles an hour, which is the speed limit out there. So don't start your shit. I'm going 80 miles an hour in a Malibu and out of nowhere. This fucking dinosaur of a mule deer, an 8-point muley, comes just strolling right out in the road. Next thing you know, boom. I mean, man, was it aggressive. Call immediately Boots because it's on Apple CarPlay. I just went silent. I get off the side of the road. I wasn't going to snort. I was initially when I saw him, I was getting ready to jerk the wheel, but I was like, nope, ain't going to do that. But when I hit him, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to take these antlers straight to the throat. Fuck. Put my arm out to the right, hold on to Bonnie, blast that son of a bitch quick as hell, and total the fuck out of that Malibu. And I pull this side of the road. Not 2 minutes later, I walk down the road and I see him. He's like, maybe 60, 70 yards in front of me. I threw him. He's dead. Talking to my girlfriend. And this guy comes walking up. He's like, you all right? Asks all these questions and shit like that. He's like, do you want this? I was like, I don't really know where I'll put it. You're more than welcome to it. So while I'm trying to get a hold of the police department, trying to get a hold of Enterprise, and all that shit, this guy's over here sawing its fucking head off. I'm like, right, okay. And I'm just like, okay. We're talking to the fucking idiots at Enterprise, and they're just like, okay, well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we could see if we can get somebody out there. And we're talking like hours. I'm in the middle of nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. And finally, here comes the sheriff. And his Dodge Ram gets out. He's got the jeans and he's got the freaking, you know, he's just like the quintessential freaking cowboy cop, man. He's got the jeans. He's got the vest on, the uniform shirt, a ball cap, cowboy boots, and a big old chew in his mouth. And he's like, he gets out. He goes, look at you out here hunting muleys with a Malibu. I was like, yeah, that's nailed it. That's exactly what I'm doing. And, get up and we start talking and shit like that. And I get a call from Nick, my tow truck guy. And he's like, yeah, I'll be there in about 10 minutes. I'm on my way. I was like, sweet. He gets out, him and the copper buddies, we're all shooting the shit. Thankfully, Nick was able to get the car into gear and get it up on the trailer. And got a hotel down the street in Murdo. And Nick takes me to the hotel. Cool as hell. Tells me the next day, he's like, well, if you need a ride to the rental car place, I got to feed the cattle and do it all. You know, this guy's a hardworking motherfucker. I mean, this guy is salt of the earth. Good freaking dude. And sure as shit, you know, the whole day goes by. Enterprise just jacks me around. We can't get your car. We can't do this. We can't do that. Had to do an extra day in the hotel or pay for an extra day in a hotel because it was such a late checkout. And Nick checks on me. I mean, and he helped me unload all my stuff into my hotel room. I didn't mention that, which is a lot, because I was getting ready to pack my truck out. And comes back, helps me load it all back into his truck. Got the rental car on the back of the flatbed. And he takes me 3 hours down the road to Enterprise to drop off the car. So, you know, they can pay him for his hard work. And takes me to the Enterprise to get another car. And we talked for 3 hours. And just a good dude, man. Just a good dude. And I've learned so much from him. You know, and one of the things, and it kind of ties into this California shit. And it kind of ties into a lot of the stuff that I talk about, is this me first mentality with people out there. I mean, this guy's opened my eyes to something I kind of knew already, but to the extent with him, we all have this me first. I got to get to where I'm going. Instant gratification. Fuck the other guy. How many of you out there think about when you go by and you see the red and the blue lights and the hazard lights on the side of the road and the tow truck on the side of the road? How many of you get over when you see that? Ask yourself, how many of you move over a lane when you see that? And be honest. Do you realize that every time you guys don't, that man is on the side of the road trying to hook up chains underneath a wrecked vehicle, helping somebody, saving somebody, getting somebody out of harm's way? I mean, we're not talking regular hours. We're talking sitting at home watching a movie with his wife and getting a phone call saying, I got to go dig somebody out of a ditch. That every time when a car goes by and doesn't get the fuck over, he wonders if this is goodbye. Now ask yourself, what right do you have to do that to a human being? Really, really ask yourself that. Now, granted, half of these dumb motherfuckers are on their phone, or they're more concerned about, ooh, what happened? But I'm begging you guys, after knowing this man and knowing how good of a dude he is, get the fuck over. Scoot over. Take your ass into another lane. The moral principle behind you just blasting by somebody, it's in your mind and out of your mind. You don't give a fuck, and who cares? You're literally, it's like you're firing a gun at him and that bullet narrowly missing him. What do you think that does to a human being? What do you think that does to their psyche? What do you think it does? It scares the ever-living fuck out of them. But, I don't know. We live in a world where everybody's like, not my problem. Well, go fuck yourself. Next time you see some lights out there, guys, get the fuck over. Because I'm telling you, this guy's a good guy. He's a really good guy. And it's funny how people come into your life and you meet them, even if it's for a little while, they make such a huge impression, and you can tell that they're doing life right. And you know what? Nick, if you're listening to this, buddy, you're doing life right. And man, I'm happy I know you. So anyway, moving on. What's next for me? Fuck if I know. One thing that I've learned over the past year and a half is, what's that saying? You tell God your plans and he laughs at you. I don't know. I'm going to leave here hopefully tomorrow, go to Arizona, pick up the last stop on this load, take it out to Waterloo, Nebraska, head back to the yard, pick up my load, go home, get a little R&R, and continue to sort life out. I guess the message this week for this podcast, folks, is you're not stuck. No matter where you are, the only determining factor on you being stuck is you. And the closest helping hand is at the end of your own fucking arm. Guys, I hope you're happy, healthy, loving and living life. And old Bonnie and I will see you on the back off. Giddy up.
I was waiting in the undertow, set adrift with featherweight light bulbs, unaware of where my heart would flow. I was waiting in the undertow. Can't touch the bottom, set into a tumble. Waves that shake me out of my skin. Never been so easy losing my direction. My bearings have me south of home. I've been wrong before. I was waiting in the undertow, set adrift with featherweight light bulbs, unaware of where my heart would flow. I was waiting in
lover who lost her touch. At first I was hesitant, now it seems oh so curious. How'd I wind up so far from home when I barely had left the shore? Feather, wind, light, bulb.